the Vietnam War. It's over. Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Brew Strong is brought to you by Blickman Engineering, home of the top-tier brewing stand. Visit them online at blickmanengineering.com.
Brewers, it's time for the beer radio you've been looking for. This is the show that dispels myths, tackles the toughest topics, and makes no apologies for geeking out on beer. Hosted by two guys that drink before they think, Jamil Zainashev and John Palmer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, howdy, hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Greetings, Cretans.
Ah, my Jean Palmer.
How you doing this week?
All right.
Quite the week we had last week, wasn't it?
Yes. Did you have a good time at JBM?
I really did. It's hard to say better than most, but it was nearly so. It was.
You had a better time than most, or it was better than most weeks?
Better than previous GABFs.
Oh.
Yeah.
And to what do you attribute that?
The fact that I left a little early each night, yeah.
Oh. All right. Well, you could go that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I woke up bright and chipper each morning and ready to judge another flight. So
that is what I have learned from my time at GABF, was to go to sleep early, get back to the hotel room like 9:30, get all ready, get myself in my footsie jammies, and at 10 o'clock, lights out, go to sleep so I can get up at the crack of dawn. Now, Bevo, you did the same thing, right? You were just, you didn't drink too much, you didn't have liquid lunches.
I didn't do that at all on Saturday.
Yes, I saw you Saturday. And you were...
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah, you talked the same way there.
That sounded a little slurry, didn't it? That second session on Saturday,
yeah,
I was feeling like $1 million when it started.
Uh-huh.
Because I did drink my lunch, but I did not drink beer.
At the end?
I drank hard liquor, so my feet were not hurting. I was happy.
No,
I was
food.
Downright cuddly.
You and Jamie,
we were having a ball. I love that girl.
Yes. Yep. That seemed like a whole pile of problems there.
It was perfect.
They were having fun. I think I saw you at just the right time, where you were still feeling great, having a good time. I'm sure you crashed later.
No, I maintained.
You maintained?
Oh, yeah.
Little infusions?
Yep. A little bit here and there.
Little hair of the dog keep you going? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Cool. Yeah. I had a good time. I enjoyed it. And the thing I love is talking to, all the homebrewers, people that listen to the show, and they come up and they're like, hey,
yeah,
been listening to you forever. And
I had a good time hanging out in front of your booth with you.
Yep. Yeah, that was cool. It was right across from the book signing pavilion, which made it super easy. I was very pleased. Hopefully we can do that again next year.
Did you know that the water book was the only book that sold out over the week?
Yeah, did they bring like two copies?
Well, yeah, it was they only brought 30 compared to some of the others, but yeah, it actually sold out.
Well, there you go. That's good. Yeah. That's a good book. A lot of great information in it. Well, and our friend Blickman wasn't there.
Ah, nope, not this time.
Right.
But they're in spirit, I expect.
Sure. Well, and he spends his time going to the AHA conference.
That's
right. He's always there. Lots of new goodies, lots of innovative new products that he comes out with. He puts them there at NHC, and you can see him, touch you, feel him, and talk to him and the rest of his crew. And if you can't, I suggest getting yourself over to BlickmanEngineering.com, and they'll post the new stuff up there, too, when it's out. And you can check out a lot of the stuff there. You can ask your local favorite homebrew shop to carry some Blickman gear so you can get it there, too. BlickmanEngineering.com. They're paying for the show, so you don't have to. So at the very least, you could do is check out their website and send them an email at feedback@BlickmanEngineering.com. Tell them how much you enjoy the show and the fact that he covers the nut on it. I think Larry made sure that Blickman knew he enjoyed the shows. He sent him a beer and a nice note. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yep, John really appreciates all that stuff, too.
Absolutely. Well, we got an email in for a show idea. If you have show ideas or questions, show ideas, label them show ideas. Send them to BruceStrong@thebrewingnetwork.com. Or if you've got Q&A questions, send a Q&A to BruceStrong@thebrewingnetwork.com, and we'll get to your show ideas and questions. This, I thought, was an excellent idea here. Matt from the UK, he writes, thank you for all the great information. Very helpful for homebrewers here in the UK. Please correct me if I am wrong, but I cannot see a Brew Strong episode about esters. It would be good to hear about the different factors involved in ester production, the different types of esters, good and bad, and how to control them. I like to make English ales, but can never seem to create the right esters to clone my favorite beers. Cheers, Matt. Well, John, why don't we start off with define for us what an ester is. Sometimes I think, you know, when we talk about beers and flavors, we're like, oh, a lot of esters. Or, you know, I think there's kind of, you know, some mystique about what that actually encompasses.
Yeah, well, an ester is an organic compound formed from a fatty acid and an alcohol. It contains a carbonyl center, which means it has 120-degree angles between either a short chain of two carbon atoms and an oxygen atom, or an oxygen atom and two oxygen atoms and a central carbon atom. In other words, they smell fruity.
They smell fruity. Or do they have any other aromas to them other than fruity?
Well, various types of aromas. You have anything from like a generic fruit, juicy fruit, you know, those orange circus peanuts, to rose floral esters. Have some very floral aromas. You also have some stone fruit esters and peach esters that can arise. So there's a variety of, but they're generally fruity or floral.
Okay. All right. And the process that produces these esters in beer is what?
Well,
just on just in general.
Yeah, in general. In general, let me say that esters are formed by the yeast. They're a metabolic byproduct of their metabolism. And while we're not totally sure, we feel that one, when I say we, I mean the scientific community, brewing community, feels that they're probably created as a means of getting rid of and detoxifying short chain fatty acids that the yeast create as intermediaries when they're going through their growth process. They're during the lag time phase, they're assimilating oxygen, they're creating and synthesizing sterols and other lipids that they need to, you know, live. And during that synthesis, they will create, you know, they'll break off pieces of larger fatty acids and create these little short chain ones, which are reported to have kind of a detergent-like effect on the yeast cell. I'm not really sure what that means, but, you know, in other words, it seems to interfere with some of the metabolic processes across the cell membrane. So they esterify these fatty acids, combine them with an alcohol molecule, whether it's ethanol or a fusel alcohol, and then thereby, you know, transform them into a non-toxic waste product that they can excrete, and they just float around and make it smell fruity.
So instead of just excreting the alcohol and the short-chain esters, which they do anyways, right?
Right.
Or short-chain fatty acids, they excrete these, and those can also esterify later on at some point, can't they?
Yeah, they can esterify later on as well. They need a couple of cofactors to do it. One is called acetyl coenzyme A, which is it takes part in the citric acid or Krebs cycle of yeast metabolism. It's kind of one of the energy production pathways. What it does is it transfers some of the carbon chain from the fatty acid to the lipid chain that they're creating. And they can do that at any point. They need that acetyl coenzyme A and also alcohol acetyl transferase, which is one of, you know, a class of enzymes that transfers an acetyl group from the alcohol to the ester molecule. So that's part of the creation process of these esters. They can, the yeast can use one of several different alcohols. Ethanol, of course, is the most common, but there's other alcohols produced by the yeast, such as isopropanol and isoamyl alcohol, and probably a couple others that I really can't name. There's a few. And esterification of fusel alcohols is one mechanism that you get occurring in, like, the aging of old ales, where something that can be a little bit hot can over time mellow a bit and develop more esters with age. But that's not a terribly fast process or a very vigorous process.
Okay. Well, let's do this. Why don't we take a short break? When we come back, I want you to tell me about that process a little bit more, and whether oxygen has an effect on that, or temperature, or anything, or
sure.
It's just time. All right?
Yeah.
We'll be back right after this.
Are you looking for a simple brewing system that's great for all grain brewing, but everything on the market seems to be full of compromises? Blickman Engineering has the answer. The Blickman Brew Easy All Grain Brewing System. The Brew Easy is a complete system with easy upgrades and a beautiful compact design, perfect for any size brewing location. At its core, the Brew Easy is built on two gorgeous Blickman Boilermaker brew kettles, a high-temperature March pump, and either a top-tier gas burner or the new boil coil electric heater. The BrewEasy adapter lid allows the pots to stack on top of each other, forming an efficient, strong, and compact brewing setup that comes in 5, 10, and 20-gallon batch sizes. Upgrade your BrewEasy system with full automated control by adding a Blickman Tower of Power temp controller, and make moving around easy with the Blickman Kettle Cart. The BrewEasy is modular. If you already own a Boilermaker kettle, you can build your BrewEasy by purchasing just the modules you need. The new BrewEasy all-grain brewing system. See it today at BlickmanEngineering.com and brew with Blickman quality on your new BrewEasy. Since the first time the Brewing Network microphones turned on, More Beer was behind it. More Beer sponsors the programming on the BN because, like you, they love brewing. And like the Brewing Network, they love sharing their knowledge. MoreBeer.com isn't just a website to place your next equipment or ingredient order. MoreBeer.com also gives you access to free beer information that will make you a better brewer. Go to MoreBeer.com and click into the Learning Center. You'll find podcasts, technical facts, video tutorials, and more, including access to The Buzz, More Beer's social network of more than 5,000 members. And some of them might even be crazier about beer than you are. Get over to morebeer.com today and take advantage of the buzz, the forum, the learning center, and make sure you're signed up to receive the newest More Beer catalog. More Beer, bringing you absolutely everything for beer making.
Grog tags aren't just for labeling your homebrews to hand out to your friends. They're the perfect way to round out your personal brewing marketing. Bringing your latest beer to a funeral? Craft a metal sign to go with it. Heading out to Little Liam's bar mitzvah? Grog tag custom bottle caps are awesome. Couldn't get out of jury duty this year? Grog tag the hell out of the deliberation room with reusable labels. Grog tag has an awesome array of products just waiting to be customized by you. Metal signs, coasters, tasting mats, bottle caps, tap handles. It's all there waiting for your designs at Grog tag. Liven up your next party with the widest selection of custom products ever offered by a sponsor of the Brewing Network. Grog Tag. At least your beer will look good.
The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
Do you like beer? They make beer.
Watch out!
Do you like friends and fun? They make friends and fun.
Watch
Do
out!
Do you still like to have a good time? 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
The 21st Amendment in San Francisco, located at 563 2nd Street, two blocks from the building where baseball is seen and played. Try their beers in the pub or try them in the can, featuring
Monk's Blood.
Made with real monk.
Watch out!
So why not have the best time of your life? Go to the 21A and Sean O'Sullivan will personally greet you with a can of
Monk's Blood. The 21st Amendment.
Watch out!
This advertisement is not in any way affiliated nor associated with the 21st Amendment Bar and Pub, nor its subsidiaries or affiliates. This telecast is not copywritten by the 21st Amendment for the private use of the Brewing Network. Any use of this telecast without Jamil Zainashev's consent is prohibited. Suck it, JP.
Hey guys, what'll it be?
I'm not sure. What do you recommend?
A lot of people seem to like the Hefeweizen.
Is that a German Hefeweizen or more of an American-style wheat beer?
I'm not sure, but I can give you a taste.
Okay, great.
Great.
The Cicerone Certification Program certifies and educates beer professionals in order to elevate the beer experience for consumers. Unfortunately, not every bar is staffed with certified beer servers who can guide their customers through a beer list.
Here you go, guys. Let me know what you think of the Hefeweizen.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely more of an American wheat. But I can hardly tell because this beer just smells like sour butter. I wonder how long it's been since they cleaned the draft lines.
Yeah, and look at the bubbles on the side of the glass. It's filthy.
Somebody should tell these guys about the Cicerone program.
For sure. How about we head somewhere else for another beer?
Your server should give beer the same respect you do. Request quality. The Cicerone certification program offers four levels of beer certification, in-person classes, and course books for beer professionals. Check them out at Cicerone.org. The Cicerone Certification Program. We know beer.
Back to the beer guys that make other beer guys look like wine guys. Brew strong.
All right, we're back. Hey, John, have you seen the Catalyst from the Craft a Brew folks? It's
that compact, conical.
Yeah, real compact. Thing will fit on your countertop, fit in your fridge. It's made from a plastic that is over 90% more scratch resistant than other plastic conicals and 71% less oxygen permeable. And like I said, it's low profile, got a nice little stand. Again, you could put it on your countertop, you put it in your fridge. It's cleaning's a breeze because the whole top comes off. You know, like a conical. So instead of, you know, a little port that you need, the entire lid snaps off. And it's got a 3-inch butterfly valve on the bottom. So you can screw in a mason jar and then harvest your yeast that way, right into a sterile mason jar.
That's pretty handy.
Pretty cool. And the my fun fact that I don't think people know is it'll withstand heat. So you can put in you know, some hot water, and even if you know, even though it's 90% less scratchable, more scratch resistant
than regular polyurethane,
you could hit it with hot water and you know, make sure that thing's sanitary anyway. So I think that's pretty cool product, and you can see it at craftabrew.com. All right, so we were talking about esters. We were talking about formation of esters, and you were talking about things like an old ale. That's one of the things that I think people are always interested in is, you know, aging beers and the development of these esters. And my experience has been that certain beers will esterify and develop these esters, and certain ones won't do it at all. I mean, it depends on a lot of other factors than having alcohol and letting it sit. So tell me more about that.
Well, esterification is a function of the yeast. So you've got to get to esterification at any time, you've got to have, active yeast cells. And the best way to do that is to, good fermentation practice, pitching enough yeast, or aerating the wort sufficiently, having good wort nutrients, and so on. So there's a lot of factors that will, help the fermentation and keep those yeast active. As I was saying, the process of ester production is part of their metabolic process, where they're essentially esterifying these fatty acids to detoxify the cell, make them non-toxic, as they're generating lipids that they need for their body. And we talk a lot as brewers about aeration. The yeast need oxygen to synthesize sterols that feed their cell membranes and so on. Well, sterols are actually a class of lipid. And there's a lot of other lipids besides sterols that the yeast create during the lag time phase, the adaptation phase of fermentation. And it is actually these lipids that are the limiting step to yeast growth. Every time a yeast cell reproduces, buds and generates a daughter cell, it shares these lipid reserves with the daughter cell. So after about, 4 cell divisions, it's used up almost all of its lipid reserves. And once it has, it can't grow anymore, can't reproduce anymore. And it'll enter what we call the stationary phase, when it kind of shuts down and stops most of its fermentation, or most of its metabolic processes, tends to flocculate and settle out. So when we look at the fermentation process, and we look at aging of beer, what we want is we want a sufficient number of yeast to be in good health and remain active going into the bottle. Maybe some micro oxygen, a couple parts per billion, or like 1 part per million, or tens of parts per billion, in the package that will help help the yeast maintain some level of metabolism. And they will use that oxygen and alcohols in the beer, remaining fatty acids in the beer, to esterify and those alcohols and produce some additional fruity character. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about a small number of yeast, in the bottle compared to the primary fermentation. So, there is, as you can probably tell better than I, there is a perceptible level of increase in character of the beer, but it's not a huge change, I mm-hmm. wouldn't think.
Mm-hmm. Now, how about in regular fermentation? So some yeast produce a lot more esters, and some produce very few.
Right.
What is it that is causing that to happen?
Well, I think you'd have to get down into the genetics of the yeast, and maybe sometime we can have Chris White on the show and maybe he can address that. But essentially, every yeast strain is essentially a subspecies of Saccharomyces cerevisiae. And each of them, are different. Some yeast strains produce phenols, others do not. Some yeast strains have are better equipped to ferment maltotriose than others. Lager strains tend to do it better than ale strains. And so each subspecies or strain of yeast has, preferences in terms of the kinds of sugars that it likes, the enzymes that it has evolve to utilize in the metabolism. And so they will, prefer, one type of amino acid over another, one type of alcohol over another, or generate one type of alcohol over another due to that metabolism. And so you get, these subtle variations in what we call yeast character, fermentation character, as a function of yeast strain. And that's part of where this differences in ester profile comes from.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was going to say something else, but I lost my train of thought. let's see.
Well, and so with this fermentation and with this production of esters, how I think most important to our listeners is, I think they can read the catalog and find out which yeasts tend to produce more and which produce less. But within that, there's also some control the brewer has over how much esters or what kinds of esters will be produced by given yeast based on what the brewer does. So the listeners are going to want to know that. It's like, well, how do I control what kind of esters are produced or how much esters are produced?
Right. That's where we're going. The big lever is temperature. It's the throttle. You can either go slow or you can go fast in terms of yeast growth rate with temperature. Essentially, esters are produced by the yeast is a reaction to stress. So the more stressful the fermentation, the more esters they will produce, trying to, detoxify their environment. And so you have like almost two classes of yeast stress. One would be a famine situation, low nutrients, cold temperatures, basically a lack of factors that allow them to grow. Mm-hmm. And the other would be a feast situation or an orgy situation where now they've got an overabundance of nutrients, an overabundance of oxygen, and maybe an overabundance of temperature. And they're just fermenting like gangbusters and throwing byproducts everywhere. They'll tend to generate a lot of esters that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So as brewers, we want to look at our fermentation a bit holistically, what combination of aeration, nutrients, and temperature is going to give us a more controlled growth, a more repeatable and consistent growth, and, a repeatable ester profile.
All right. Well, and I've come across brewers that say, well, I pitch half as much yeast as really is needed because I really want to stress the yeast out and get them to, produce more character, more flavor.
Yeah.
And, I'm always in the back of my mind going, yeah, that's probably a way to get it to under-attenuate. and, stressing the yeast generally produces sulfur as well. So there's a lot of sulfur that's produced under yeast that are under stress. So I'm always hesitant to use that as a control versus just picking the right yeast strain and then, fermenting them in a more compatible, conditions where I can still be sure that they're going to attenuate fully, not throw off a lot of diacetyl or something else and, be a problem in some other way or a lot of sulfur or what have you.
Right. I think that's a good point. I mean, there's enough yeast strains available today where, under more optimum conditions, more repeatable and consistent conditions, you can find a strain that'll give you the ester character you want without stressing another strain to do it the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty reasonable.
Right. Well, and what about you know, the banana ester that is produced by you know, some yeast, and
sure,
and in particular, what does growth have to do with that? I'd like to talk about that in just a minute, but I also want to tell you folks about Williams Brewing. I don't know if you guys are familiar with WilliamsBrewing.com, but they are a West Coast supplier, and I've bought stuff from them. I bought stuff from them all the time. One of the things I really like about them here on the West Coast is that you know, they got a vast selection, and when you place your order by 4 p.m. Pacific time, weekdays, they ship the same day. They get it out that same day. That's like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it still goes out the same day. You get it real, real quick. They, like I said, have prompt delivery. They've been in business since 1979, and they offer some great equipment, fresh ingredients, and excellent customer service. I've always been real, real pleased with them. So you can check them out. They've got a new device called Brewer's Edge Electric Mash Water Heater. You plug it in anywhere, and it gives you precisely controlled heated water for strike and sparge water. Endless strike and sparge water. You no fumes, no second burner, no running to get more propane. Makes your all grain mash nice and easy, you know. Yep. All right, let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, I want to hear about those banana esters in particular. Right after this.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainashev, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
To find Heretic beers near you, click on Find Some at HereticBrewing.com.
Army, have you heard the latest at Hop Tech? Since Hop Tech has doubled in size after a huge expansion, Jade and Roberto can stock even more of the best quality homebrewing supplies and equipment. Over 60 kick-ass varieties of hops and malts, monster truckloads of quality brewer's yeast, including White Labs, Y yeast, and multiple dry yeasts. They even have all grain systems from Grainfathers and Ruby Street Brew Systems, thanks to Jade, the brand new all-grain brewer. And don't forget about their 10% discount to all BN Army members. Jade and Roberto are waiting for you and all of your brewing questions over at hoptech.com. HopTech, totally not sucking since 1983.
Ken Grossman of Sierra Nevada Brewing Company says, making great beer is hard. Making the same great beer every day is harder. Brewers Publications announces its latest release for breweries of any type and size, Quality Management, an Essential Guide for Brewers by Mary Pelletieri. Proper quality management for small, regional, and national breweries is critical. Whether you are an established business or brand new, learn the best ways to create and manage a quality system in your brewery. This book will guide you in developing a comprehensive program that will grow with your brewery, help ensure quality processes in the brewery, and continue providing great beer for your fans. Quality management for breweries is critical for continued success. This guidebook teaches you to integrate quality management in every level of the operation. It will guide you in developing a comprehensive program to ensure quality processes in your brewery. Quality management, an essential guide for brewers, now available from Brewers Publications. Learn more at brewerspublications.com. If you work in retail sales, the restaurant industry, or are a new craft beer enthusiast, or you know someone who is, you have got to check out Beer 101. Beer 101 is an online course created for anyone wanting a quick introduction to the vast world of craft beer. Beer 101 covers the history of beer, brewing ingredients and processes, vital stats like ABV, SRM, IBU and gravity, styles, tasting, glassware, and pairing beer with food. The Beer 101 course is offered by the Brewers Association at craftbeer.com, also home to the truly awesome Beer Style Finder, a visual guide to every beer style. Quickly play with color, bitterness, and alcohol content to interactively explore the entire world of beer styles with a gorgeously designed interface to your favorite beverage. The new Beer 101 course and new Beer Style Finder are only available at craftbeer.com. Craftbeer.com, celebrating the best of American beer.
Back to the two guys that know how to turn beer into beer. This is Brew Strong.
Hey, John, when you were in Denver for GABF, did you use the AHA Brew Guru?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, isn't that awesome, Hap?
It really is.
Yeah, it shows you all the places, all the breweries and brew pubs and homebrew shops, and then which ones are given a discount.
Oh, yeah. It was really useful when I was looking for a quick bite, you know, between shows or a good place to have a great brew.
Yeah, I was surprised at how snappy their database is.
Oh, yeah.
It reads that data directly from the Brewers Association and shows you, the latest and the greatest. So somebody new signs up and is offering an AHA discount or something, bing, shows right up in your app. The app's free. You can get it from all your usual app sources. It also gives you, besides money-saving deals at homebrew shops and pubs and breweries and all that, it gives you this they've got some great content in there. It's some hand-picked articles, proven recipes, all from trusted resources from the Brewers Association, Zymergy Magazine. And I think it's just a great deal. If you're a member, you should be downloading the Brew Guru. It is worthy of the bits and bytes that'll take up on your phone. Trust me, it's a nice app. Nice and stable,
very
too. I'm very, very pleased with it. All right. We were talking esters, and we were talking about specifically the banana ester. So what is that ester that's producing that banana character?
Well, that particular ester is amyl acetate.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it's formed from the group B amino acid, which makes up part of the wort FAN, the free amino nitrogen.
Mm-hmm.
It's made from isoleucine. And that is it's a group B amino acid. I should take a moment to mention that all these different amino acids that occur in wort can be divided into four groups, and that these groups are taken up at different rates by the yeast. Group A is taken up first, and it consists of some of the very basic amino acids such as, arginine, aspergine, aspartate, glutamate, glutamine, lysine, serine, and threonine. But then there's also the group B amino acids. And these ones are the ones that are responsible for much of those strong esters that, you know, give a lot of character to the beer. These are histidine, isoleucine, leucine, methionine, valine, and cysteine. And isoleucine is one of the most prevalent amino acids in the beer, therefore gives rise to the most esters. It combines with the fatty acids and the ethanol to create amyl acetate, so it makes it a fairly dominant character.
Now, my understanding is that when the yeast is in its growth mode, when it's growing, it's not able to produce the isoamyl acetate. That's one of the things that's limited by that. So that the theory going, if you pitch too much yeast and they don't go through this growth phase, they or, you know, limited growth phase, they end up producing more of the isoamyl acetate. Or if you go too far in the other direction, they'll produce more isoamyl acetate.
Yeah. I have not seen, definitive arguments one way or another. What the papers do talk about is, for example, that maltose seems to produce less esters than the fermentation of glucose, or perhaps more specifically, the fermentation of sucrose and fructose and glucose. Mm-hmm. Different intake mechanism is used between these different sugars. Mm-hmm. Maltose is taken in to the cell directly. And then it's broken down inside the cell into two glucose molecules, mm-hmm. whereas sucrose is broken down outside of the cell by an invertase enzyme that the yeast produces, and then the glucose and fructose are taken in to the cell via different door mm-hmm. and metabolized. So something about that process must result in slightly different metabolic pathway, mm-hmm. slightly different stress level. Mm-hmm. And I'm really not sure how to explain it.
Well, and I remember it was Lynn Krueger that first was talking about this fact of fermentation.
Yeah, yeah. So somewhere in that between that adaptation phase where they're, you know, doing a lot of lipid synthesis and the high growth phase where they're consuming sugars and producing alcohols and perhaps metabolizing lipids as part of that process. Mm-hmm. Talked about the citric acid cycle earlier, pyruvate and all those, that's where they're generating a lot of these short chain fatty acids that they feel the need to detoxify and esterify mm-hmm. As part of that process. So yeah, there's at some point in the high growth phase, that's probably where they're producing a lot of these, and maybe later on, once they've gotten rid of, you know, there may be some, in other words, what I'm trying to say is there may be some sort of priority. Mm-hmm. That may be strain dependent on perhaps which esters they actually produce first mm-hmm. And which esters they actually produce more of. Mm-hmm. It may be at a different point in time.
Well, and I think, besides selecting your yeast strain, besides temperature, and temperature tends to make things go faster or slower, mm-hmm. but, the yeast kind of, my understanding is the yeast kind of shift their priorities in the way that they work under higher temperature than they do under cooler temperature. They tend to start doing things maybe a little differently. It's
right.
Like, those you would – if you went to a grocery store and you were given, 3 hours to shop for your food for the week, you'd go through maybe a little more methodical and you'd make, certain choices. If you were given, 2 minutes to go in and shop for the week, you'd run in and you didn't have a choice. It was it. Or, you're going to starve. You'd run in there and you just start throwing things in the cart just to get them in the cart and to get back out with, enough food to survive. You wouldn't care too much about, am I getting, balanced nutrition? Am I buying the thing that's the best, price, per serving, you just slam shit into the cart and go.
Yeah. Go for high calorie count or something.
Yeah, exactly. You just need to stay alive. So the yeast, I think, are very similar in a way to that where, if you give them time, temperature is kind of like that clock for them. It's a clock also of, the available nutrients, like you said, the available sugars. How many other people are in the store shopping with them and competing for, the same foods.
Right.
And, that can make a big difference. So You know, pitching rates as well, I think, can play an important part. There's, I think it's very forgiving pitching rates. You know, I think the danger is going too low. It's very hard to go too high. And in that middle section, you can go quite a bit lower or quite a bit higher than what would be supposedly ideal. And really not see a radical change in ester production.
Yeah. Yeah, I think wort composition can have as much or more to do with that. Mm. Because one reason is that, you know, this order that the yeast consume these amino acids. If you look at, you know, a wort that has comparatively low FAN levels, mm-hmm. Well, it'll eat through those group A and group B amino acids. Mm-hmm. Fairly quickly, and then start looking at the group C amino acids. Mm. And group C, you know, has some different characters. Mm-hmm. It can have some very, very floral characters, in mm-hmm. fact. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that can be a feature of mm-hmm. some fermentations, that you can produce some floral character to your
beer.
That's
very interesting, because, you know, the, you know, meads and things like that, very low on free amino nitrogen.
Right.
And, you know, I tended to get more floral character out of meads than, you know, the citrusy fruity.
Right.
A lot of times.
Right.
So
that's a very good example.
Fascinating. How many groups are there? You've got A, B, C.
Yeah, there's also group D, which mainly consists of proline, mm-hmm. and that group, proline and similar amino acids, are really only taken up during aerobic fermentation, if you will, mm-hmm. aerobic metabolism. Mm-hmm. So we really don't see products from group D in normal beer fermentations.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So group C is kind of far as it goes, and those consist of alamine, ammonia, glycine, phenylalanine, tyrosine, and tryptophan. So, you know.
Oh, like the turkey.
Yeah, yeah. So you could put a turkey in your beer and get some more of those really
nice
jasmine and floral character if you wanted.
Just some turkey squeezins.
Yeah.
It's coming up on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. You know, in fact, I wonder if that would be an interesting experiment, to just take some straight tryptophan, mm-hmm. you know, amino acids you can get at the health food store,
mm-hmm.
put it in your wort.
And see if that upped a certain ester.
Yeah.
That is a good idea. I wonder if we got some homebrewers willing to knock that experiment out for us.
Yeah, I bet so.
Well, and I mean, maybe can you get the other, I'm sure you could get the other compounds as well.
Oh, yeah, phenylalanine, tyrosine, yeah. Yeah, those would be really available.
Why don't you get me a list of what you'd want to try?
Okay.
We will produce some wort, and then we will dose each with, we'll have a control, and then we'll dose each of the other carboys with some of these enzymes.
Oh, that'd be cool. That'd be cool.
Or these amino acids.
I'm sorry.
Took pain muscle relaxer for my jacked it back, and now I can barely talk or think. And if you get that to us, we could do that for you. Yeah. That would be fun. We have the AHA rally coming up, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be filling some carboys with wort from that. And, maybe we will... get some carboys. How many would you want to test? How many do you think you could source?
Probably, we could probably get 3 or 4 easily enough. Yeah. Something. Yeah, probably 4 would be a good number.
Okay. Right, and then a control, so 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We can do that. That's going to be cool. I think we should do it.
Okay. Yeah. Let's do it. I'll get them sent up to you.
All right. Sounds good. All right. And mention that AHA rally that we're going to have at Heretic October 29th. It's free if you're an AHA member. And the good people at White Labs are, again, providing yeast. I trapped Chris, and I say, Chris, I need you to give me 200 packages of yeast. And he's like, well, okay. just like Kara now.
So, well, it's because you and he are, you know, like that.
That's true. No, Chris is, I think, you know, he likes supporting homebrewers. He started as a homebrewer. His first products, you know, and a lot of his success has been based off of homebrewers. So he loves homebrewers, and he's glad to give back in something like this. He's been awesome. Well, another thing that's really awesome, I don't know if you know, they've been collecting strains, yeast strains, from around the world for more than 20 years. And, you know, they collect them, and it's like, you know, a Pokemon hunt. They're constantly picking up new strains and, you know, banking them. And they'll do some test ferments and like, oh, this is really cool. You know, can we make a product out of it? But, you know, it's not available to homebrewers. I mean, as a professional brewer, I could say, hey, yeah, do you have something like this? You know, get it out of your vault and grow it up for me, and they will. But it's not available to homebrewers. Until now, they've got the Vault program. So you've got an opportunity to order new and creative, unique strains from White Labs that are rarely, if ever, been available in the marketplace. So you check out the full lineup of strains available by visiting whitelabs.com/thevault and put your pre-order in today. You pre-order, and then if they get enough orders, then they go ahead and grow it up and ship it out to everybody. If not, then, you know, you can roll that over to another one, or you can probably get your money back, I'm sure. So really cool. It's a way for kind of crowdsourcing the homebrew market to, you know, put a yeast into production. And if everybody loves it and goes, man, that's like the greatest beer I've ever made, they'd probably roll it into at least their platinum strains, if not their you know, constant regular production yeast. So check it out. Let's take a short break. When we come back, John, I need you to wrap up your thoughts on esters right after this.
Brewing great beer is a process of continuous learning, and the best books on every aspect of brewing can be found at Brewers Publications, with more than 50 awesome titles like Modern Homebrew Recipes by Gordon Strong, Designing Great Beers, The Ultimate Guide to Brewing Classic Beer Styles by Ray Daniels, American Sour Beers, Innovative Techniques for Mixed Fermentations by Michael Tonsmeyer, For the Love of Hops, The Practical Guide to Aroma, Bitterness, and the Culture of Hops by Stan Hieronymus, and Radical Brewing, Recipes, Tales, and World-Altering Meditations in a Glass by Randy Mosher, plus many, many more. These are the books and the authors with the knowledge to push your brewing farther than you thought possible. And you'll find them all at fine homebrew and book retailers everywhere. And visit the website at brewerspublications.com. Brewers Publications, all the best on beer and brewing.
Your support of the Brewing Network means everything to us. We couldn't produce shows without you. And we love giving you something extra for that support, like Brew Your Own magazine. You already know it's a great brewing magazine full of recipes, equipment how-tos, discussions of beer styles, and brewing techniques. Whether you're new to brewing and just starting out, or you're an old pro, you'll always learn something from the articles in Brew Your Own. Plus, they're amazing special issues like plans for building a Brutus 10 system, 250 classic clone recipes, and the Homebrewer's Answer Book. Brew Your Own magazine and BYO.com are awesome resources for any brewer, whether for yourself or as a gift. When you subscribe or resubscribe from the Brewing Network homepage, you directly support programs like this. Get a great magazine and support the Brewing Network. Subscribe to Brew Your Own right from thebrewingnetwork.com.
The Vault, created by White Labs. The Vault is a collection of new, creative, and unique yeast strains from around the world. These strains have never been available to homebrewers. Most have not even been available to professionals. You have the power to release the yeast. Through the Vault, White Labs is giving you the power to decide which strains are put into production and giving you the opportunity to brew with these strains. Visit whitelabs.com/thevault and pre-order the yeast strain of your your choice and encourage your friends to do the same. Once 250 pre-orders have been achieved, White Labs will put that strain into production. The strain will be mailed directly to your doorstep, ready to make the beer you've always wanted to brew. This program was created with the home brewer in mind. White Labs is relying on you to help release these strains, which may blaze the way for future new and unique beers. Help release the yeast. Visit whitelabs.com/the vault.
Learning to brew has never been so disgusting. This is Brew Strong.
All right, we're back. We're lucky that Porno Steve is alive after his horrific traffic accident.
Oh, yes.
It was terrible. What happened?
It put a dent. It put a dent in his
Put a little dent in my 1976 Mercedes Pornmobile. And then they drove off.
It's just like the car, the kind that Richard Gere drove in Pretty Woman.
Sure, why not? I remember that movie in any ways. I'm like, sure.
That's before your time. You were probably not born when that movie came out.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah. Speaking of Richard Gere and Pretty Woman, if you've got a pretty woman in your life or a pretty man, check out AdamandEve.com. Use the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L, at AdamandEve.com, and you're going to get 50% off almost any one item. I mean, they got a ton of items in there at good prices. Put one in the cart. That's 50% off. Then you get three free DVDs. You get the free Power O vibrating ring and free shipping. So all you're out is just the 50% off of one item. And I'm telling you, 50% off is truly 50% off. You're not going to get that item cheaper elsewhere. It's 50% off, free shipping, free DVDs, free vibrating O-ring. Or O vibrating ring. Not an O-ring. It's really a ring. But not for... It is for the O, but it's not for, you know, it's... You put it on the shaft, and then it's for the O there. Or you could put it on your fingers, you know, if you don't have a shaft. You know.
No, that's creative.
You could put it on your fingers and use it that way. Or you put it on a, you know, a prosthetic-type device and use it that way. Hey, it's for everybody. I'm not judging here. I think, you know, love between two consenting adults is a wonderful thing. So go to AdamandEve.com and enhance your lovemaking today. Use the offer code Jamil, J-A-M-I-L, and be adventurous. Try some new stuff and get some free stuff. I think it's pretty cool. So check them out, AdamandEve.com. All right, John,
what's the last word?
What's the last word? What should people take away from this, you know, well, to apply to their brewing?
Sure. Okay. Put it simply, esters are a metabolic byproduct that are formed by the yeast during growth when they need to eliminate excess waste. If they're grown under stressful conditions, they'll generate more esters than they otherwise would. Temperature can be part of that process and, you know, cause them to generate even more esters under, say, high growth or fast growth conditions. And then you have your free amino nitrogen and your wort composition, your sugars composition, and that can influence the type of esters that are formed. Mm-hmm. One example is that with very high levels of FAN, say from all malt wort, you can have most of the yeast needs accommodated by your group A amino acids, and you won't generate much of the stronger smelling group B and group C esters. Mm-hmm. With very low FAN levels, such as you'd get in an adjunct wort, say something contains a lot amount of refined sugar,
or something like that.
Yeah, or rice or something like that. Where, then you will get more of these group B and C esters being utilized, and you get more of the banana, mm-hmm. more of the pear, and so on, mm-hmm. and some floral. So, a lot of factors at work when it comes to ester production in your mm-hmm. beer, but those are the main levers.
I'm excited about this experiment we're about to do together.
Yeah, me too.
And maybe what I need to do is special make a wort that is very high in adjuncts, so that we're kind of eliminating.
Yeah, kind of give us some.
Although, I mean, you really want to apply it to, you know, traditional brewing and see what the effect is there.
Yeah, that's true.
But you
we could make that one of the four. So we mm-hmm. could do three amino acids and then one mm-hmm. Where we really cut it with sugar.
Right. Well, you know, just line me up as many amino acids as you can and what the theory says they should produce flavor-wise. I will take care of all the rest. We'll try it in a standard kind of wort. Maybe an IPA where we're using some dextrose, maybe a 8% or something like that, where we're using some dextrose to dry it out.
Okay.
And then maybe I'll also make just like a honey. I'll make a mead of some kind with just honey. And, we'll see if we can, tweak it that way.
Oh, yeah, that'd be interesting to add some group A's or one more group B's to to honey.
Right.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Right. Instead of just a yeast nutrient, we could use some of these amino acids as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's going to be really cool.
Cool. Banana mead. Interesting.
Banana mead. I think the pear, some of these other flavors sound a lot better
than
banana. Yeah. But, I think good job, John. I think you really kind of delve deep into esters.
Yeah, well, fortunately there's some really good papers out there that are easy to pull from.
Mm-hmm. Well, and thank you, Matt, for suggesting we do this show. I think it was really good. I got another great suggestion at JABF that we should do a cask show.
Oh, yeah.
So how to do all the cask stuff, how to set up casks, how to ferment them, how to, prep them, how to serve them, all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, we got a bunch of good cask brewers down here in Los Angeles area.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we do casks at Heretic every day. We have a cask on.
Well,
so I could bring in my guy and we could have quite the series of shows, I think.
Yeah. Be a lot that's a good idea.
All right. Cool. I think if you like this show, you should be emailing John Blickman right now. Send it to feedback@blickmanengineering.com. At least go to the website, check out their stuff there. It's a great company, been around a long time, and really focused on creating satisfied homebrewers that can crank out great beers using really cool equipment. So check them out, BlickmanEngineering.com. They've been wonderful to us. They've been wonderful to you. So in turn, be wonderful to them. Another way you can contribute is by emailing your show suggestions or questions, Q&A, to BrewStrong@TheBrewingNetwork.com. You can participate in the show by logging in, going to TheBrewingNetwork.com and the chat now, and you can participate in the show. The lovely Bevo is there to kind of moderate and get your questions asked from us. So that's another fun way to do it. And go to TheBrewingNetwork.com/store and buy some cool gear there. All of it goes to the bottom line of The Brewing Network. So until then, everybody, brew strong.
Brew strong.